Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everyone. Judge Andrew Napolitano here for Judging Freedom. Today is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. Our dear friend Phil Giraldi joins us now. Phil, it's a pleasure, my friend. Thank you very much. You have a great piece out, which precedes the Iranian response to the Israeli attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus, called War and Peace in an Ocean of Lies. And I commend that piece to everyone that is interested in knowing the nature and extent of the deception and lawlessness of the Israeli government. But to bring us up to date from the time you wrote it to what we know now, is there evidence, or is it more likely than not, that U.S. intel or military assisted the Israeli attack on the Iranian consulate in Damascus?
Well, yeah, I would suspect that given the level at which U.S. intelligence, in this case, particularly probably military intelligence rather than CIA, the way they cooperate, working through bases in Israel itself, where U.S. Military are stationed, I would suspect that there was a lot more connivance going on, maybe not at a top official level, but certainly at a working level that enabled the Israelis to pull this off.
Would Secretary Blinken or National Security Advisor Sullivan or Secretary Austin have known that the Israelis were about to demolish an embassy or a consulate?
Yeah, well, that's the big question, of course, because to destroy a diplomatic mission is a major league war crime. It's not just the usual kinds of tit for tat that seems to go on in the region. And I would think that on a, let's say an official level, these guys must have been in the loop for doing this, must have been. But again, on a working level, you know, stuff goes on. And I'm not really convinced that they were stupid enough to give a go-ahead for something like this, because the one thing I think you can trust that's coming out of Biden's mouth right now is that he's kind of wanting to put the lid on this whole thing exploding. And this was a sure way thing to get the explosion, to get the thing moving ahead. So Israel would have been motivated for it, because Israel wants the United States, through some chicanery or otherwise, to get involved in a war against Iran. So that was my theory in the beginning, but now I'm kind of wondering. There's some theories flying up about how this came about, how this was contrived.
Well, I want you to share those theories with us, unless you think they're absurd, Phil, because I'm trying to determine, with your help and the help of our colleagues, if Joe Biden not only is complicit in genocide, but in the additional war crime of attacking an embassy, a consulate. I keep confusing the two. It's the consulate adjacent to the embassy, which is absolutely protected under the Geneva Conventions, no matter who is inside the building.
Well, I would, in all seriousness, have to consider that these people at the top of the system would have been briefed on this.
And at the top of the American system or the Israeli system?
The American system is what I'm talking about, because these are the ones that theoretically could have put a stop to it. Certainly, Israel had motive to pull the Americans into this and might have been able to pull it off. But I rather suspect there might be other working relationships, as I prefer to call them, that might have made this happen. The whole thing is, you have to decide what was the ultimate motive of the Israelis doing something this crazy, because it was crazy. It's such a high level war crime that it has to be something that goes beyond the killing of a couple of Iranian generals. And the only thing that makes sense to me, it made sense to me right from the beginning, was that they were hoping that the Iranians would respond with a response that would be so serious that the United States would be sucked in as Israel's protector. So that seems to make a lot of sense. And now we're hearing some other things. There was a piece today by Seymour Hersh in which he cites a lot of anonymous military officers, both British and American, who apparently were involved, or so it seems, involved in working with the Iranians to come up with a response that would not trigger yet another retaliation. So, how many circles within circles do we have here, how far does this go on?
I mean, so the Americans are supplying the Israelis with ammunition and weaponry with which to commit genocide, consenting to or looking the other way when they murder Iranian generals, and advising the Iranians as to how to strike back so they don't hit too hard and start World War III. You can't make this up.
No, you can't. But it's what's floating out there. And I must admit, I don't know if we'll have an answer to this or a plausible answer to this until we see what the Iranian response to whatever Israel does is going to be. So let's see what the next circle is. If both Iran and Israel are deciding that they want this to kind of cool off, then they'll go that kind of route. There'll be sort of a tit for tat again, and the whole thing will go away. But if either one puts the foot down on the accelerator, then there are other motives that come into play about who wants what to happen down the road. And this is pretty scary stuff. I mean, as I keep mentioning, Israel is a nuclear power, and in the past has toyed with the idea of using its nuclear weapons under certain circumstances. So this is scary stuff.
One of our writers refers to it as a kabuki theater. It is like a kabuki theater if the United States is on both sides here. What did you think of the Iranian response and their very shrewd use of drones to force the Israelis to spend $1 billion shooting down harmless drones?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect of this too, because the Israelis are almost certainly running out of ammunition. And meanwhile, we see in Washington, they're pushing through again this package of, what, $93 billion, $91 billion, I guess it is, for Ukraine and Israel and for the Pacific. And that would be $14 billion that Israel would have to spend on replacing its weapons. So that's another interesting aspect of this. Even though the Iranians may have deliberately set up something that wouldn't kill people, would only hit military bases, presumably in areas that were not used by troops. Even if that's true, and they sort of let the Israelis off the hook, the question is, where does this go next when the Israelis are rearmed and replenished by the United States? I don't know. I don't know what Israel's going to do. What I'm reading from the media in Europe, which has a better feel for what's going on inside Israel, the Israelis have pretty much decided that it's going to be a pretty hard slap in the face what their response is going to be, and it's coming soon.
Seems to me that the Iranians were moral, surgical, and even brilliant. I mean, they told the Saudis or the Americans or somebody who told the Israelis, this is the very intelligence headquarters building they're going to destroy. You better get out. The Israelis certainly didn't do that to the Iranian generals that they and civilians that they murdered. And they even told them what military targets they were going to hit. They didn't kill a single person. A young girl got hit with a piece of shrapnel, but they didn't aim at or intend to kill a single human being, unlike what the Israelis did. Do you think that Netanyahu will do all he can to enhance this, to provoke Iran, to draw a massive response, to bring the United States in? After all, Phil, Israel is our most valued and our closest ally, according to what I hear on the floor of the House of Representatives almost every day these days.
Well, I would have a different take on that, but
I know you do, and I'm provoking you.
I have verbalized a number of times, but yeah, the whole way these stories fit together or don't quite fit together does hint at some kind of collusion. That's why I'm kind of interested in seeing where this goes and how it goes. But I think the next play will be the decisive one. If Israel kind of does something basically innocuous and Iran doesn't respond to it, then it's the end of the story. But we're missing the backstory, which of course is that no matter how you put it, Netanyahu is a reckless individual. I was going to use a different noun. He basically is quite capable of initiating a war with Iran as long as he feels in his head that Congress and the White House will back him up and basically come into the war on his side against the Iranians. He's been preaching for how many, since the 1990s, about how the Iranians are 5 minutes away from having a nuclear weapon, which has been a lie ever since that time and even up till now. But he's been preaching it to create a motive to attack them and destroy them. And I have no doubt he still has that in his head. And as I say, he's reckless, he's ruthless. He knows that the longer he can drag these wars on, the better his own politics are. Because when these wars are over, he's going to jail.
I wonder if Speaker Johnson tipped his hand at something that's coming. This is cut number 9, Sonia. He's got a lot of issues on his hands, including his longevity in office. But listen to this clip in which he says, I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I didn't know we were at war, but listen to this.
Look, we are in We're in unprecedented times, okay? We're in dangerous times, as has been articulated here, around the world, and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that when I took the gavel. I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker probably in the history of the country, in the moment that we're in right now. He said, arguably, maybe comparable to the Civil War, but maybe worse.
That's somewhat of an exaggeration, I think, but it's interesting that this brand new young speaker who is within one or two votes of being removed from office by his own party because he stands for nothing that the party supposedly stands for. There's no reason for us to get into that right now. Nevertheless, calls himself a wartime speaker. Do you think he knows war is coming, or is he just trying to gather votes to retain his job?
Well, actually, it's kind of a scary comment in that it's not clear exactly what he means by it. He means, I would suspect, that these two wars that the United States is engaged in, and the possible third one coming in Iran, and maybe the fourth one coming in China, is something that he accepts as a reality of the United States experience at this time in the world. And I think that is pretty scary. I think that's pretty awful. All of these wars, at least in my opinion, and I suspect possibly yours too, could have been avoided. And the United States, instead of taking the steps that would have avoided these wars and would have saved probably already something like a million lives, instead embraced these situations that were developing that could have been negotiated out of. And certainly the situation with Iran and what's going on with China now, these are negotiable situations. They're all negotiable situations. But if this lunkhead from Louisiana really thinks that he's a wartime guy, you know, I wonder, was he in the military? I don't even know that. Just like Joe Biden is a draft dodger, Joe Biden is obviously seeing himself as a wartime president. Where do all these clowns come with these labels?
Well, I guess they look up to somebody like FDR and emulate what they believe was his leadership. Is Israel an ally to the United States? Is the relationship of Israel to the United States beneficial to the United States?
The relationship, I've discussed this before, Israel is not technically an ally because an alliance requires reciprocity. Israel has never been an ally. Israel's relationship with the United States, from my own experience when I was in government, and I used to see a lot of the so-called intelligence produced by Israel and passed to the United States, this stuff was Fantasy Island, all about making Iranians and Arabs look bad. That's what they were really good at. And so, no, we've never benefited in any way from the relationship with Israel. And Israel has benefited to the tune of, I think, something like $280 billion. And this year, the estimate is that if they get this $14 billion, they will get $25 billion from the United States to fight their war, and which we gain nothing from in this year, $25 billion alone. This is ridiculous.
Back to Iran and Israel. I'm going to play some clips for you, and they are radically, radically different from each other. We'll start with Lord David Cameron on one of the Sunday talk shows, cut number four, Sonia.
What about Iran's frustration at part of its sovereign territory being flattened?
Well, I would argue there is a massive degree of difference between what Israel did in Damascus and, as I said, 301 weapons being launched by the state of Iran at the state of Israel. For the first time, a state-on-state attack. 101 ballistic missiles, 36 cruise missiles, 185 drones. That is a degree of difference.
Yeah.
And I think a reckless and dangerous thing for Iran to have done. And I think the whole world can see all these countries that have somehow wondered, well, you know, what is the true nature of Iran? It's there in black and white.
Now watch him lose his composure with her follow-up question number 10, Sonia.
What would Britain do if a hostile nation flattened one of our consulates?
Well, we would take, you know, we would take the very strong action.
And Iran would say that that's what they did?
Well, what they did, as I said, was a massive attack.
So they were right to respond, but they overreacted, is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that the attack they carried out was on a very large scale, much bigger than people accepted.
But did they have a
right
to respond?
Well, countries have a right to respond.
Well, first of all, this is probably the dumbest foreign minister that Britain's ever had, because he should recognize that an embassy overseas is sovereign territory. It is part of that country. That's why this is such an egregious crime. And the fact that the Iranians clearly took steps to make sure that they wouldn't kill people and that they wouldn't do damage to anything that would be seen as a devastating loss for Israel was obviously a very good move. Israel was not making a good move when it destroyed a consulate general in a foreign country in Syria and deliberately killed a bunch of senior Iranian government officials. So, you know, this guy is... my wife worked for the British Foreign Ministry back some years ago. She warned me a number of years ago that this guy was an idiot.
Here's a member of the British Parliament who's hardly an idiot, the first of the two speakers. You'll have a different view of the second. I'm not even going to tell you who it is, but you'll know in a moment. Cut number five.
So, Speaker, I knew your father well for a very long time. He was a fine man, and I... I'm sincerely sorry for your loss. There was not one single word in the Prime Minister's statement of condemnation of the Israeli destruction of the Iranian consulate in Damascus, which is the proximate reason for the event everyone is here in concert condemning. He was not even asked to do so by the front bench opposite. Kay Burley is the only person so far to demand that of a government minister. We have no treaty with Israel, at least not one that Parliament has been shown. And the Iranians are not likely to listen to him. When Britain occupied Iran, looted its wealth, and overthrew its one democratic socialist government in my own lifetime.
Well, Mr. Speaker, whatever may have happened a few weeks ago, it is absolutely no justification for launching more than 300 drones and missiles from one sovereign state towards Israel. It's as simple as that. And in the Honourable Gentleman's question, not once did he condemn that action, or indeed the actions of Hamas in the region. There is no equivalence between these things whatsoever, and to suggest otherwise is simply wrong.
I think the great George Galloway was actually trying to be heard in the background of the Prime Minister speaking, but they cut his microphone off. So there is courage and there is accuracy, however numerically insignificant it may be in the world's oldest deliberative body. What do you think?
Well, I think this is all a club that, you know, the British, the French, Germans, Americans, it's a big club and they're all owned by Israel. This is a tragedy for our times. They're either guilt trips or whatever, or money or whatever it is that has created these relationships. They're bad for everybody. And I would note that the British have been among the worst. They, you know, when the Russians and the Chinese tabled a motion in the UN Security Council condemning the Israeli attack on the consulate general in Syria. It was vetoed by, of course, the United States, joined by France and Britain. And our brilliant ambassador there at the UN, she said the reason was because there were a lot of things that weren't very clear. Now, you know, the planes were observed flying over the border and bombing the target. I guess apart from that, they might have been the Russians, you know, pulling a real dirty trick. But I think the likely answer is that this was done by the Israelis, and yet the United States refuses to condemn it and blocked them a measure to condemn it and in a world body. So it's you watch this performance going on, and it's lie after lie after lie, evasion after evasion after evasion, not just the United States. It's Britain, and it's France, and it's Germany, and probably a few others. And they all seem to be owned by Israel. It's incredible how this came about, and it's time for it to end.
Well, one person not owned by Israel is George Galloway. That's obvious. He has a way with words. Phil, you have a way with words as well, and it's a pleasure to be able to share these words with you once a week. Thank you very much for joining us, my dear friend.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Okay, we'll see you again next week, as you wish. Coming up at 4 o'clock Eastern, Aaron Matei for more of this. Aaron has some very interesting observations and news for you on what's going on in Israel. Judge Napolitano for Judging Freedom.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.